discussion, the Lord moved into a further discussion with his disciples about how difficult it is for wealthy people to get saved. But I want you to understand, and I'm sure you already do, but the Lord wasn't insinuating that it's harder for him to save a person who is wealthy than it is to save any other type of person, whatever their social class or their color or their sex or whatever the case. He wasn't saying, I have more difficulty. It stretches me more to save a wealthy person than it does someone in poverty or someone of a different race or whatever. That's not the idea. The idea is that the difficulty comes from the fact that most wealthy people do not see their need to be saved like certain other people do. The Lord can save anybody without any trouble whatsoever if they'll just turn to him in faith. Amen? And that's one of the great things about salvation. The ground is level at Calvary because we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. So whatever your social class, rich, poor, black, white, whatever the case, man, woman, it doesn't matter. The Lord can save anybody with all ease. It doesn't stretch him at all to save anybody if they're just willing to turn to him in faith and receive him as their Savior. The problem is that some people don't want to do that. They have a harder time doing that than other people, and that's where the difficulty comes in. And that's the main thing that I want you to understand from what we're about to study in these verses. So let's get started there in verse 23. It says, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples. He uses this occasion to give some further teaching. He says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, one thing that you want to note, if you have it, is that he's not asking his disciples a question here. The way that reads, you almost get the idea that he's asking them this. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? But if you'll notice, the punctuation is not a question mark. The punctuation is an exclamation mark. I did pay attention just a little bit in school, in English, just a little bit. But the difference is that he's not asking, he's telling. He's making a statement here about those that have riches entering into the kingdom of God. And his statement is, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? In other words, you're not going to have that many, is what he's trying to get across here. It's not going to be that many. You're just hardly going to have some who are wealthy, who have riches that enter into the kingdom of God. And why is that? Is it because they're more difficult to save than others? Well, no, that's what we just talked about. The problem is not with God. The problem is with man, right? That's how it is all the time. All the time. The problem's never with God. The problem's always with us. Jesus said to some Jews one time, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. The Lord is more than able to give life to anybody if they will come to him. So the problem wasn't with Jesus, the problem was with those Jews. They would not come to him that they might have life. And that's how it is with a lot of people who are wealthy. They won't come. They won't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is going to be seen, I think, in the next verse here. Look at verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we get on down to verse 26. But the disciples were astonished at his words, astonished at what he's saying here about those that have riches. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Once again, notice he's not asking a question. Again, it's an exclamation point. He's making a statement about the difficulty for those who have riches to get saved. And why is that? Well, look at verse 24 again and notice the wording. In verse 23, he says, how hardly shall they that have riches. Look at verse 24. Children, how hard is it for them that, what? Trust in riches. How does a person get saved? Trust, right? They have to trust someone, not something. They have to trust someone. That's the only way anybody can be saved, is to trust. And they have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that makes it difficult for people that have riches to get saved? He says, how hard is it? Not like I'm asking you how hard is it, but I'm telling you it is very hard. That's what he's saying to me. It's very hard for those that have riches to get saved, to enter into the kingdom of God. Why is that? The reason is a trust issue. It's a trust. It's always a trust issue. I mean, at the end of the day, if the way a person gets saved is by trusting in Jesus Christ, then if a person doesn't get saved, ultimately it's a trust issue. Now, there's different things that cause people to not trust Jesus Christ, but again, at the end of the day, the issue is trust. What is a person trusting to get them to heaven? For many people who are wealthy, what are they trusting according to this? Their riches. He says, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's a trust issue. They got to stop trusting in their riches and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very hard for people who have riches to do. Why is that, do you think? Why would it be more difficult for a person who has a lot of wealth to trust the Lord than it would certain other people? That's right. It's very hard for them to see their need, because they basically have everything, at least in their mind, they think they got everything they need. Yeah. That's right. Your confidence is in that. Yeah. And some people actually, the Bible talks about, Jesus himself talked about the deceitfulness of riches. And one thing that riches will do is deceive you. They'll deceive you about your true condition. They will make you think way more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Now, in this world, I'm sure you can find people that are wealthy that are humble, but you're going to have to look pretty hard. Most people that have a lot are very arrogant people, and they're stuck on themselves. They, as we like to say, walk around with their head in the clouds, thinking they better than everybody and looking down on folk. That wealth has deceived them. The deceitfulness of riches has deceived them about their true condition, about the true need that they have in their life. And it has deceived many into thinking that their wealth is all they need to get them into heaven. Because there are certain religions that teach that if you donate enough to charity and you give enough to a certain church, and y'all probably know what church I'm talking about, if you give enough to the poor widows and the burn victims and, you know, put enough coin in the altar, in the offering plate when it comes by, then, well, you're going to be all right when your time comes. The deceitfulness of riches. So they go through life trusting in their riches instead of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very, very hard. The good thing is, he doesn't say it's impossible for people that are wealthy to get saved. And there are people in our world today that know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have worked hard, and their confidence has always been in the Lord, and God has prospered them and blessed them, and he's entrusted them with an enormous amount of money and possessions, and they're using what God has entrusted them with to further his kingdom and to be a blessing to other people. So you have that. Paul even talks in the book of Timothy about those saved people that are rich in this world. But he cautions even those saved people to not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And there is the danger even for a saved person. And if there wasn't the danger, Paul wouldn't caution those saved people who were wealthy. But there is a danger even for saved people to get to the point where they don't trust the Lord the way they need to, and they have more confidence in their wealth. So you have to always watch out for that. And I think this is true to a degree for all of us. Now, I don't know anybody's financial condition here. I don't, and don't want to know, okay? I don't want to know that. But I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think I'm looking at anybody this morning that's in poverty. Not real poverty, okay? Now, we may not be, by the world standards, rich, okay? Although I consider myself to be very rich. Maybe not in lands and possessions and money, but I'm a rich man, I can promise you that. But I don't think I'm looking at anybody in here this morning that could honestly stand up and say, I'm in poverty today. We all have not just what we need, but let's be real about it. We all got more than we need, don't we? I mean, if you get to thinking about it, isn't there some stuff you could do without that you have now? A few things you could get rid of and still exist and still live fairly comfortably if you got rid of some of those things. Well, that's a blessing from God for which I'm thankful. But there's danger in that. You understand? The more increase that you have in your life, even if it's not increases way up here to where you're in the level of wealthy, any increase that comes into your life where you have more than you once had, there's always danger that you're going to trust the Lord less and less. You follow what I'm saying? The more you get in your life, you have to be careful that you don't let your faith go down as your possessions go up. You have to watch that because it will happen. I can remember, and shame on me for what I'm about to say, but I can remember when my wife and I got married. At the time, I was pastor of my first church. I was still in college. So I was trying to juggle a new wife, another year of college, pastor a church, and your first church is always a real eye-opening experience, I can promise you that, on a lot of levels. But I got all this going on, and my monthly salary was $400. That's what I made. Well, my monthly salary is not $400 now. Y'all all know that. And I'm going to tell you, and this is shame on me, back in them early days of our marriage when we had nothing hardly, my faith was a lot stronger then, probably, than it is right now. Because it's like Brother Vic was talking earlier, you know, you got plenty of money, something tears up, you ain't even really got to pray about it. You just run off down there to the store, and there you go, you got it. Back then, when I was making $400 a month trying to support my wife and family and buy gas, drive back and forth to Graceville, when something broke down, I didn't just run to Sears and buy another one. You know what I had to do? I had to get on my knees and pray. And I'm not fooling with you. I had to get on my knees and say, Lord, you're going to have to help us here. I don't got the money to take care of this. I need you. I need your help. But as time progresses and you get more, you find yourself trusting less and praying less if you're not careful. And I don't know, maybe some of you in here could resemble all those remarks I just made, but that's the danger of increasing your life. We're thankful to have it, amen? I'm not saying that I want to go back to the way it was when I first got married. Not saying that, but I'm telling you there is danger when you have any level of increase in your life. You got to watch out for that it doesn't pull you away from God as far as your faith is concerned. So you have to watch that. But anyway, back to this text here. Jesus is going to go on in verse 25 to explain just how hard it is for those that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He says, verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, that's pretty hard. Any of y'all ever seen a camel go through the eye of a needle? Any? That's a very hard thing, like impossible without God doing something, right? I mean, that scenario is just not going to play itself out unless God does something. Now, look, when I was in school, because this is how liberals think. Liberals are just, they just have that tendency to always water down any miracle you find in the Bible. Even in Bible college, which is where I went. And you'll hear it now, it's real common. A lot of these preachers will tell you that that eye of the needle is a hole in the wall over in Jerusalem, and they have to squat down, the camels have to unload their burden and squat down and wiggle through a hole in the wall and all that, and it's called the needle's eye. Well, that's just a liberal's attempt to water down what Jesus Christ said. That's all that is. It's nonsense is what it is, okay? Just like a lot of the other things that liberals say to water down the Word of God. You take what you find in this Bible face value. You understand? What is more difficult, for a camel to unload his burden and wiggle through a hole in a wall, it's called the needle's eye, or an actual camel to go through the eye of a needle? What's more difficult? That's pretty clear, isn't it? But now, you know, us old country folk out here, we ignorant and don't know anything. All you need to know is enough to trust what this Bible says every time it says it. And don't ever let anybody shake your faith or confidence in what this Bible says. Don't let them water it down, ever. And I'm telling you that what Jesus said there, he wasn't talking about no hole in the wall. He was talking about a camel, a literal camel, going through a literal eye of a needle, which is impossible without God doing something. And we all understand that. And he's trying to get across to his disciples the difficulty for wealthy people to get saved. And that's pretty hard. But again, the problem was with them, not with God. God could save them just like that, no problem. Just as easy as he saved me, he can save anybody else in this world. Just as easy as he saved you, he can save anybody in this world. But those people have to turn from trusting in something other than him and put their faith in him. And when they do that, he'll save them right then. And in this case, like the story we studied about the rich young ruler, you know what he wasn't willing to do? He wasn't willing to do that. He had great possessions, it says in verse 22. Had great possessions. And he was not willing to turn from trusting in those possessions to trusting in Jesus Christ. He wasn't. And as I said on Wednesday night, I have no record, there is no record in the Bible this young man ever got saved. Most likely, while we're here today in this service, that man's burning in hell. Because this is reality. I think, you know, we hear so much fictitious stuff nowadays, we forget that we're reading about real people who had real encounters with Jesus Christ that lived on this earth. This was a real man who turned away from Jesus Christ because of his possessions, and he is probably burning in hell right now while we're in this service. And the same will happen to anybody who trusts in anything other than Jesus Christ, whether it be wealth or whatever. But that's the context here. Here is a rich young ruler who would not turn from trusting in his wealth and his possession to trust Jesus Christ. It's hard for him to do. Not impossible, because some people do it, but it's hard. Now look at verse 26. And they were astonished out of measure. This is his disciples. Back up in verse 24, it says, and the disciples were astonished at his words. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves. They're talking amongst themselves here. Who then can be saved? The idea is, if rich people can't hardly be saved, then who in the world can be? And here's the thing that you gotta understand about their thought process here. Their thought process was the same as many of the people during that time, and the same as many people in our day and time, is that rich people are privileged, and that because of their wealth, they're privileged above others and can get things that other people cannot get. And the reason they're so astonished here is because they're thinking, look, these are rich people he's talking about. Rich people get anything they want. And he's telling us that it's very, 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 very hard for those people to get saved. So they're astonished that he would teach that wealthy people would have something deprived from them. That's the astonishment here. They're thinking in their mind, hey, they're rich. Well, these are the people surely that the Lord's going to show favor to above people in poverty, above other people around here, because they're wealthy. And folk even today, their mindset is that if somebody's wealthy, that means they're powerful and they're privileged and they're above everybody else. Let me say this to you. Whatever amount a person gets, they're still a sinner, just like I am. The richest man on this planet is a sinner, just like Keith Parker. The richest woman on this planet needs a Savior, just like I needed a Savior. And they put their pants on or their dress on just like anybody else in this world. Anybody else. When it comes to God, the world, y'all understand this? The world and the world only bestows privilege on people of wealth. God doesn't do that. God loves a poor man just as much as he does a wealthy man. That's a worldly thing. And that's what the world does. It bestows honor and favor upon people that have, as opposed to those who have not. And they act like they're some kind of special people. Do you realize that some, in fact, a lot of the wealthiest people in this world are some of the lowest character individuals you will ever meet? I'm talking just trashy, low-down, sorry people. But they got a lot. And we have to be careful ourselves, because here's what we'll do. You know, somebody that's rich and famous, even ourselves, you know, we'll go somewhere and we'll get around somebody like that. Maybe we go to a meeting and one of these rich, famous people there, and we'll talk to our buddies the next week at work. Man, I went so-and-so last week, and oh, so-and-so was there. Well, so what? I mean, at the end of the day, so what that he was there? I was there too. But ain't nobody talking about me. They're talking about that rich and famous guy like he's something else. And he may need nothing but a whoremonger, an adulterer, and a fornicator, and everything else. Wealth doesn't make the man or the woman friend. It's a worldly perspective. But from God, it don't matter to him. It don't matter to him. He sees each one the same as far as the Lord is concerned. That's why they're astonished here. Man, if rich people can't get it, then what hope is there for any of the rest of us? Who then can be saved? If these wealthy people can't get in, how in the world are we going to get in? Is the way they're thinking. That's why they're astonished. Verse 27. And thinking about that before you move on, isn't there, and let's just be honest, isn't there a certain privilege given to wealthy people that's not given to folk that don't have, they slip a little money, or just because somebody knows they're wealthy, they'll let them into a certain establishment or let them into certain things just simply because they know that. But then somebody like me walks up, and if I don't have an invitation, I don't get in. Here's a wonderful thing about salvation. Everybody gets an invitation, rich or poor. Everybody gets it. If you're willing to trust Christ, he'll take you. If not, you can take your money and everything you have and go straight to hell and burn there. He'll make no exception. He'll show no favor just because you got wealth. None at all. That's right. Put him up front. That's right. Yeah, that's in the book of James, and he tells us not to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. And we have to be careful, just like we got to be careful about trusting our stuff more than we do him. We got to be careful that we ourselves don't get sucked into that mindset of showing favoritism to somebody simply because of what they have. And I tell you what it does. It causes wealthy people to begin to expect to be treated differently. A lot of them, many of the ones that I've met, they genuinely expect preferential treatment just because of what they have. I don't believe that a man garners more respect just because he acquires more than other people in this world. I think it's integrity and character and things of that that we should look at more than what he has. Because a lot of those people have none of that. We're going to have to stop. We're out of time. We'll pick up here and finish the rest of this passage tonight. Any questions about what we looked at? Any questions?